Glad y'all come out today. I want y'all to pray for. I want you to pray for Shelby. Lift her up because I gotta leave still for some of these pills, probably all of them, at least for a week or two, so I can figure out which one is giving me the dry mouth. I mean, my mouth gets so dry, and my tongue will stick to the top of my mouth. Well, I tell you what, I am my mother's child. Right? All righty. Hallelujah. I know what to do. Hallelujah. I am going off on one day.
That's right.
That's right.
One day you'll be off.
That's right. Liable to go off and put it in too. All righty. Well, if you will turn to Psalms chapter 40. I don't know if I preached this message before, but if I have, I know I won't bring it out the way I did. And I never bring out two messages the same. I don't think nobody can do that. Let's see. Just go by and just read what they have written down and not say nothing else. But, all righty. Psalms chapter 40. And, youngins. I like to see you. I like to see small kids come to church. Oh, me. Which we, you know. But, all right. Well, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 40. And I got some thoughts over there in chapter 22 in the book of Proverbs that I'm going to read a little later, but if I get a chance. But if you will, here in Psalms chapter 40 in verse 1. Anybody got the places? All right. Well, Psalms chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, this is the psalmist David that is speaking right here, and he's saying that he's waited patiently on the Lord. Now, at this time, David, he had sinned, and other things was in his life that he was just really just wanting to get back to God and want to talk to the Lord. But he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up. Now, I want you to underline them four letter words right there. He brought me up. He brought me up. He did not reach down with his hand. He did not even climb to the certain portion of it and then reach down. But he said, he brought me up. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou doest not desire mine ears, hast thou opened burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercy from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquity have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confound together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of thine shame that say unto me, Ai, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We see right here where the psalmist David right here,
that the psalmist David was just basically telling a story at this time, and he was just telling it to the fact that what the Lord will do and how the Lord will just come where we're at and the way he goes about it and the things that he will do about saving our soul. But we notice up there in the first two or three verses there where he said, I waited patiently. David was telling the people, says, I waited patiently on the Lord. And he heard my cry. But then he goes down a little farther, and he says about the horrible pit. He brought me up. Now, what does that mean to you? Does that mean that he stood on the top of the pit where it was? I don't know what kind of pit it was, but it was a hole there or a pit or whatever. But I'm thinking about, and I'm gonna look at it as a septic tank out here. Now, when we take the top off of that septic tank, what do? We go in, we want to go and pump what sludge is in there. We want to pump it clean and just then put back fresh water in there. But see, the Lord did not go in there and dry up the ground. He didn't go in there and dry up the slime that was down there where we was at, in the stench of this world. He came, he brought me up. What does that tell you? Tells me one thing. He does not reach his hand down. He came where I was at. He came right to the bottom of that pit. And he brought me up. Now, some people say, well, he took a hold of my hand and he pulled me out. No. Doesn't say that. We can't add to the scripture or take away from the scripture. We find that over in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We can't add and we can't take away. So, in that case, we can't add nothing else to that verse. Because it starts out this way. And I believe this book. I believe the Word of God. It's the King James Bible, and I believe it. This is God's Word. It's His authority. He says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He said, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. When I was in sin, and when I wasn't saved, and when I wasn't doing what the Lord wanted me to do and everything, I was rebelling on Him. Where was I at? I was in the stench of the world. I was in sin. And I was caught up in it. And hey, I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking for God because everything was going so fine for me. I had everything okay. I wasn't looking for God. But see, God was looking for me. He was looking for me. Because it says right here, it says, He brought me up also. That means that it wasn't the first time that he went down in the pit. It wasn't the first time he went down in the mire, in the slum of this world. It wasn't the first time he went down where the muck of this world was and where all the garbage had been put. It wasn't the first time. He'd been out and down there before. He come and he brought you out. He come and he got down on his knees right there in the pit. You would think that maybe if we get so wrapped up in the world that we can come after them. But you know something? We can't. There's nothing we can do. We can't give up anything. And we have so many people today, they want to give up the lifestyle that they're living before they can ever come to the house of the Lord. And before they can ever get saved. Hey, God don't want nobody like that. God wants you just like you are. God wanted me just like I was. He wanted me and all of my sin. You say, you mean God wants sin? Hey, His Son went to the cross. His Son hung on the cross. Why? Who put Him down the cross? I did. You'll confess to yourself, you did too. Your sins did. All of our sins put Him down on the cross. That's the reason the Father, at noonday, at 12 o'clock, complete darkness. Complete darkness. They had light that morning, but then it was complete darkness at noonday. Why? Because see, that's when the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost. That's when He said, "It is finished, Father." And when, as soon as He said it's finished, the Father of heaven turned the lights out. He turned the lights out. Nobody had could see anywhere around. Why? Because the Father could not look on sin. You can go back, not just in the New Testament where it said that, but we can go back to the Old Testament where it also says that. Well, when there in the book of Exodus, when He was speaking to Moses, and when Moses went up on the mountaintop there, and when Moses got to the burning bush, what did he do? You thought, he thought he saw the face of God. That's what he told the people. He said, "I believe I saw the face of God." But he didn't. He didn't see the face of God. Why? Because if he seen, if he looked down on the face of God, he would have burned up just like him. And that tree in the bush there would have still been flaming. But Moses would have vanished just like that in the heat.
But I am thankful that not only did He Himself turn the lights off
and it was complete darkness. What does darkness represent in God's Word? It represents sin. And God cannot and will not look on sin. God does not approve sin. But He will forgive us. He will forgive us of our sins if we ask Him. But we have to ask Him. It's a twofold street there. It's a twofold way. We think that God is going to do everything for us. But we got to turn to God and allow God to understand what's wrong with us. God already knows what's wrong. God knew already what was wrong with me. God knew that I was lost. God knew that I was serving the devil. God knew that I was on the way to hell.
And God knew I had sin. He knew that I was covered with it. But seeing God look past all of that, and He looked down in time, and He looked at what I might could be. What I might could be. He looked on your life,
and He says, "I want you, because I'm gonna use them to further the gospel. I'm gonna use them to further my ministry." See, Paul's not here. Jeremiah's not here. Job's not here. What the Lord has is me and you. He has us, the Christians. And we, the only hope that the world has is that we go out and take the gospel to them and tell them about his love. That he loved me so much that he was willing to lay down his life for me. And he did.
But see, that's when he brought me out of the horrible pit. Then I come out of the horrible pit then. And he established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth. And he touched my feet, that my feet would follow him.
And he touched my eyesight, that my eyesight can look at the beauty that he has performed by you. And he's touched my ears, that my ears may hear and perk up to the small, still voice. Yes. And I can hear him speaking.
You know, today, this week, I've seen so much in the Bible talking about tears. Talking about crying. And you know, I honestly believe today that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, all three of them, they're crying every day. They're sobbing. Why are they crying and why are they sobbing? Because he has so many that he went to the cross for. And so many came to him. And he done what he said he'd do. He saved their soul. And he written their name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But now, he don't hear anything from them. They don't talk to him. You know, God wants us to have communication with him. He just, I mean, you know, he's not, it's just not a one-way street. Because the Bible teaches me over in the book of Matthew, it says we must ask. Who do we ask? Who's he speaking about? We must ask God. In asking God, what are we seeking for? We're seeking for him to do something special. We are seeking and asking him to do what we think is the impossible. But to him, it's not impossible. Everything is possible with God. And the reason God don't maybe bless us, and maybe the reason God don't what's the right word? I think the reason that God won't bless us, and the reason God's not blessing the church today, is because his people are just sitting still. And they won't bless him. You know, God likes to hear from us. You like to hear from your children. If your children are out away from you during the day or something like that, it thrills your heart if they just pick up the telephone and call. Say, Mama, what you doing? Mama will tell them, say, well, I'm doing a little housework. They said, well, you know, I think I might come over this evening. And they come over.
Our mama is. She's busy doing the housework. And that child comes in. and grab the hook for the broom or the vacuum cleaner or something and help the mother. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to help him. But we can't help him without him helping us first. And I thank God.
I really do. I thank God. Every day for Jesus Christ. I thank him every day that the Holy Spirit sees something in me. Like I said earlier, or like I said Wednesday night, before anybody can ever get saved, it's through the preaching of God's word that will draw all men to him, to where he can save them. And we can't change our lives. We can't change what we're doing. Because see, if we change, if I change the way that I was walking, and I said, well, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore, then I go to the Lord. I said, Lord, would you forgive me? Save my soul?
He said, yes, you will. That's a 99.9% or 99.99%. Almost 100%. Or surety that I'm going to act on that sin that I'm going to get rid of myself. Because see, we don't get rid of the sin ourselves. I can't get rid of the sin. But he forgives me. And he has his precious, he has this book right here to give us. And I'm so thankful that he gave me this book.
That way in John, chapter 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, I believe, no, verse 9. We confess to him. If we go to God and say, God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. I've sinned against you and your son. I've sinned against you, your son, and the Holy Spirit. Please forgive me. And I confess my sins unto him. And if I confess my sins, he is faithful to forgive me. He is faithful to forgive me of all of my sins. You know, myself, I cannot live the Christian life on my own. No one else can either. But if with God's help, and if we talk to him every day, and if we read this word every day, then he's going to speak back to us. And yes, and he'll speak back to us in a way that where was maybe there's even verses of scripture that we read. Won't even think about, maybe, well, you know, ain't this verse of scripture as I warned him when I went to God and just asked him to forgive me of my sins? That's the reason this Bible that I hold in my hand, it's the living Word of God. I know who the author was. I know who the author was. And I know who he is. And the author picked out over 40 different individuals to pen his word.
He didn't go ahead and pick like no 40 people of the day to pin his word down. No. They was back then. It was back then. And there's one that
when God chose him to pin down the word of God, once he got saved, God didn't have to worry about him no more. Because he was going to do everything he could to please God. And he did. And you say, well, who was that? I says, it's Paul. I believe it was Paul. Well, didn't Paul have a thorn in the side of his flesh? Yeah. When he had by half blind? Yeah, sure was. But you know what I think that thorn of flesh, the thorn was inside of his flesh. Now this is me. And I know, you know, you can make figure out, maybe think of something else. But this is me. I know when Paul went about and asked him for papers to go out there and serve every day to the synagogues, to the sanctuaries, to the temples, and to individuals' homes that was Christians. He went out there, he went for one reason and one reason only, is to shut the mouth of the Christians. And how he done that? He had them murdered. Now, it doesn't say, and I ain't found no place in it. If it's in there, I'd love for somebody to show it to me. But it's nowhere that I have found, and I've tried my very best to look it up and find it, that where Paul himself actually handled the sword
that pierced that individual and took his life. I haven't found it. It might be in it, but I haven't found it. See, Paul, he was an authority. He was an authority figure. Like we have in the city of Danville, like we have in Congress and the Senate and everything. The city government, you know, they give out orders, see. They can give out orders because they have higher plane than we are. So they can come by and they can give me an order. And it's going to be up to me if I take that order and apply it the way they want it applied. It's going to be up to me. See, they can't make me. Oh, yes, they can take and say, well, I'll tell you what, you just come on run over here and sit down. I go over and sit down. They can have three or four people come over there and they can beat me half to death. They can come up over there and they can bring a pistol. Or they can bring a rifle, it doesn't make no difference. And point it at me. Says, you will do this. And if you don't, you will die. Well,
I said, well, get on with it. Get on with it, because I tell you what, you ain't going to hurt me. Because I believe, now this is what I believe this. I wholeheartedly believe it,
because I know where I'm going. I'm going home. And it's not going to be out there on Jenny Lane either. Mine's going to be that up there in glory. It's where my home is at. I'm going home. But just as soon as they put their finger on that trigger, then they took the thumb and they cocked the back and everything to where they can get rid of fire. I believe just as soon as they pulled the trigger from the time that bullet leaves that rifle or that pistol, from that time until the time that that bullet hits me, probably in the heart or the head, my soul is going to be there in the presence of God. There's nothing going to be here but the corpse. I'm not going to feel no pain. While he's taking me on home, I'm going to be laughing at them. And laughing at Satan, because he thinks he can do it all. He can't. He can't. He can't touch me without God's permission. God has to give him permission to touch me. God has to give him permission to take my life. The most important thing for a Christian today is to know God's will for your life. And the first, I believe there is some things that we can believe that we know that God's will is in it. First of all, we must believe in Jesus Christ. If we believe in Jesus Christ because he saved us, that was the will of God. Because it's the will of God for every individual that has ever had the breath and the air to breathe, and where he pumped the lungs, and where he walked with them, he's always been there. He's always been there. God is going to always be there. We can say what we want to. We can do what we want to. But see, God's going to be there. See, God is not going to forget about me if I go out here. If I leave the church today and I go out here and I do something that's wrong. God's not going to leave me because of that. God's going to become more real to me. Because he don't want me to do them things. He don't want you to do them other things either that we used to do. Why? Because he's given us something better to do. I never in my wildest dreams that I would ever think that God would use me in the capacity that he has. Bye-bye. You have a good afternoon. All right. But God's always been there, and he always will be. He's never forgot about me one bit. Yes, I forgot about him. Some's. But it won't long before I got back in touch with him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will bring chastisement down on me. He will start whipping me. He will start beating me. He says, son, you need to get back in order now. You need to get out of get all this other stuff out of your life and everything. And you need to get back serving the Father. He said, but as long as you don't, more chastisement is going to come to you. And the chastisement that's going to come to you is going to be harder each day. What does the word chastisement mean? It means correction. It means that God wants to correct us in a way that where we can come back to Him and we can have complete fellowship and complete life with Him. I've known people. I even see some today that used to be in church. And they used to brag on the Lord. And they tell you how much God had done for them. And how God saved their soul. But yet, they got out of church because of it. They spoke to somebody and the individual didn't speak back to them quick enough. So they allowed that individual to run them out. Run them away from the church. And to run them away from God's blessings on their life. They're not in church no more. But you know, when I go and when I talk to them, I speak to them. And I don't say anything to them, but I can see the disappointment in their life. I can see the disappointment on their face. It's almost like it's spelled out. Because they're unhappy. They're so unhappy they can't think about anything else. They allow people. We shouldn't even think about the people. I mean, hey, why am I going to let an individual, somebody, to get me out of church where I'm going to lose my testimony because, see, God didn't do anything to me. God has never done anything to any of His children. Oh, yes, sometimes we think He has. We think He's forgot about us, but He hasn't forgot about me. He hasn't forgot about you. He knows exactly where you live at. He knows exactly your name. He knows exactly where you work. He does not forget anything. And one thing about it, He never brings up the past. We bring up the past. Why? Because we just can't forget about it. But He tells us we must forget about it. Because He says, I took all your sins and I cast them as far as the east is from the west. And I cast them in the deepest part of the ocean, of the water. So if that means He cast them, what did He do? He cast them away from us. So, well, they should not even be around us to even think about it. But you know the reason we think about it? Because when we come to God and ask Him to save us and to cleanse us, we don't realize that God, He's a God of forgiveness. He forgets everything. He don't even have to bring nothing up. Even His Son, Jesus Christ. His Son. When I do something wrong, I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. I'm a man. I have flesh on His bones. And as long as I have flesh on His bones, it's going to be after sin. But I don't do it willfully. But you know, I'm so thankful that
the Lord Jesus Christ, he will go.
And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ, I says, Lord, forgive him sins. Cleanse me once again today. Crucify me once again today. And he will. And then he, see, that's just not all he has to do. See, it's certain things that God has to do.
And then he has priority over the Lord Jesus. But it's other things that Jesus can do that the Lord will not butt in and override. The Holy Spirit has got his own authority to do what he is supposed to do. The Father's not going to override the Holy Spirit, and the Son, the Lord Jesus, is not going to override the Holy Spirit. Because if he did, then we could take this book right here, and we could take it, and I could take it and put it right there on the rail, and I could walk out of this church and not never pick it up again. Because it wouldn't bother me if that was the case. Well, see, if I leave it there, if I happen to forget about it, and I leave, before I get out of the driveway, I'd ask my wife, I said, she would have said, you see my Bible? You see my Bible?
But getting back to what the Lord Jesus says, and I'm going to close with this, I promise. But
the Lord Jesus will go to the Father, and he says, Father, I just want to let you know that all in my hand, he come to ask for forgiveness for what he done. And I forgave him. So, Father, you also forgive me. And I love that song that they sing. Because this scripture, the Father turned around to his son and said, Son, what sin are you talking? What sin are you talking about? I don't see no sin on his life. Why? It's just like at the cross. Only thing the Father could see was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. That's the only thing that he sees on my life that I've been covered in his precious blood. I've had people tell me, say, I can go down. And then, well, listen to you. I said, why? I said, you know, I just preach God's word. They said, yeah, I know. I said, but you're one of these bloody preachers. I said, what do you mean bloody preachers? He said, you're always preaching about somebody's blood. Well, I tell you what, if I don't preach about the blood, I ain't got no business to even preach. Because it's the blood that saved my soul.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for the blood, I'd be in hell today. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray now, Father God, that you will be with us the remainder of this day until this afternoon as we come back to church tonight. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the visitors, Lord, that's come in. And Father, we pray, God, today, that you may bless them in their effort in coming out and hearing the word of God. And Father, for each one that is under the sound of the preaching today, we pray, God, that you will help us all to follow thee. Lord, we just ask you, God, if anybody here that's not saved, Lord, I do not know. Only one I know anything about is myself. I don't even know about my wife. Only thing I can do is just say, yes, I've heard them say, but I don't know a heart. The only heart I know anything about is mine. And Father, we just want to thank you. And we want to praise you today. Because you are my Savior. You're my Redeemer. And not only that, you are my Lord. And we thank you. Bring us back tonight.